This is Dr. William R. Glaze, Senior Pastor of Bethany Baptist Church in Pittsburgh. As the founder and CEO of Anchored in Jesus radio broadcast, I'm grateful that you are listening to us. As a thank you for tuning into our program, we invite you to go to our website, www.anchoredinjesus.org, and subscribe to our weekly devotional. Everyone who subscribes will receive their choice of either an Anchored in Jesus coffee mug or Anchored in Jesus t-shirt. The promotion will run now through Friday, November 24th. At the end of the promotion, we will have a drawing and randomly two names. Each of these two individuals will receive a basket of Anchored in Jesus merchandise, including one of my books entitled Heaven, Answers for Today, Hope for Tomorrow. Also, we'd love to hear your thoughts about our program. Please go to our website, www.anchoredinjesus.org, and leave a comment. We look forward to hearing from you.
Entry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us for the first half of How to Flourish in God's Economy. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of How to Flourish in God's Economy.
We started off the first week by talking about God's economy and saying when the rest of the world is experiencing a famine, when the rest of the world is experiencing a famine, there is provision in God's economy. In Genesis chapter 41, in verse 54, it says this, and the 7 years of famine began to come. Just as Joseph has said, he interpreted Pharaoh's dream. And just as Joseph has said, 7 years of famine came. And there was a famine in all the land. Notice what it says there. In all the land. But in the land of Egypt, there was bread. When the rest of the world was dealing with hardship, when the rest of the world was suffering from lack, there was bread in the land of Egypt. Now notice, even though Pharaoh probably was a heathen king, he was operating under God's economy. Well, how do you know that? Look at these verses. Joseph said this, "It is not in me," as he was talking to Pharaoh. "God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace." God, notice that. Look at verse 25. God has shown Pharaoh what he's about to do in this provision that he is going to give. What God is about to do, he showeth Pharaoh. What was God about to do? God was about to allow a famine to come on the rest of the world, but for there to be bread in Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "For as much as God hath shown you all this." Man, God was all up in this thing, right? He was all up in it. And so we see that he had a different plan, and he was going to allow Joseph to administer his plan. How to flourish? How to flourish in God's economy? What does the word flourish mean? As I looked up the word flourish, there were several definitions that I saw. But I like this one especially. To grow and develop in a healthy or vigorous way, especially in the results of a particular favorable environment. That means that you have a healthy, now again, let me, because I'm going to come back to this. I want to come back to this. But go to that next slide. To flourish, it doesn't mean that you'll become rich. You know, we got this philosophy today that people will tell you that you can name it, claim it, you can blab it and grab it, and that if you do this, that God will make you prosperous. He'll make you rich. Well, you know, I don't read that in the scriptures. Now, God does bless some people to become rich.
There's no question about that. But because you are in an environment to flourish, that does not mean that you're going to become rich. All right. So if that's what you think that I'm talking about this morning, then you need to get that thought out of your mind. To flourish, it doesn't mean that you will be without financial struggle. You know, think about, I love the example of the caterpillar, right? The caterpillar goes into the cocoon, and it's in the cocoon that the caterpillar struggles. It's in the cocoon that the caterpillar goes through a metamorphosis. It's in the cocoon that the caterpillar goes into a transformation, only to emerge as a beautiful butterfly. So to flourish, it doesn't mean that you'll be without a struggle. That I found over my lifetime that I've had some financial struggles. But even in the midst of financial struggles, you can still be healthy. You can still be in a favorable environment. To flourish, it does not mean God will overlook financial irresponsibility. That if you are financially irresponsible, if you have spent money on things that you shouldn't have spent it on, if you have bought something when you should have been paying your bill, if you have spent money unwisely, then God is not going to prosper you to flourish. Now he may be merciful and gracious and work with you, but what I'm getting ready to share with you this morning, if you will operate by the principles that I'm going to share with you, that you will flourish in God's economy. Now, if you go to that next slide, to flourish, we break it down into two things. It means you will have healthy financial discipline. Right? If you have healthy financial disciplines, you will flourish. Right? Now again, I'm not saying that you're going to be rich. I'm not saying you're going to be without a struggle. I'm just saying that to flourish means that you have healthy financial discipline. That you see, I getting ahead of myself now. All the rest of this stuff is in my message, so I don't want to give too much away at this point. All right. So let me just say that I think that as we go through the message to define what financially healthy disciplines are, that you will see that as we go through the message. And it also means, wow, I love this right here. I love it because this is taken right from that definition of flourish, right? And that it means you will be in a place, or God will place you in an environment to be financially healthy. That God will place you in an environment to be financially healthy. God, you know, God doesn't want you to be a bad testimony. God doesn't want you to be out here being irresponsible. And if we will do what God tells us to do, again, I'm going to say it again because I don't want anybody to say, well, Pastor Glaze said that if you do what he tells you to do, that you're going to be rich, you're going to be, you know, you're going to have buku cash coming in. No, that's not what I'm saying. You know, to flourish does not mean that you will become rich. It does not mean you will be without a financial struggle. And it doesn't mean that God will bless your financial irresponsibility. So today, as I conclude this series on God's economy, I have what I call the Beatitudes of flourishing in God's economy. The Beatitudes of flourishing in God's economy. And just so happened, I came up with seven. There might be more, but I came up with seven that I want to share with you today. The first Beatitude is that you got to be faithful. You got to be faithful. 1 Corinthians 4:2, and we've looked at this verse throughout, right? I just want to present it in a different light today. And that is, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man or woman be found faithful. That if you want to flourish in God's economy, you have to be faithful. That means whatever you have, if you go to that next slide, that you have to have the right mindset. If you want to flourish in God, if you want to flourish in God's economy, you have to have the right mindset. And if you don't have the right mindset, you will be operating from behind the eight ball. And you will probably struggle. Now, we know that there's the world's mindset, as I've shared a couple weeks ago, that's self-centered. And what do they say? Nothing belongs to God. It all belongs to me. You know, whatever I work for, whatever I earn, I can do whatever I want to do with it. And you know people like that. You probably got people in your family that have that attitude. Whatever I have is mine. They get all they can all they get, and they sit on the can, right? And so that's that self-centered mindset, that nothing belongs to God. And then, you know, we can be pious, right? And we can rub our fingernails on our shoulder and say, I trust God, and I believe that God would have me to give 10%, and I can do with the 90% whatever I want. Well, see, you're not going to flourish in God's economy. I'm just going to tell you. If that's your attitude, I mean, God will bless what you give to him. He will bless it. But I'm saying that that's not the mindset that you need to have in God's economy. The mindset that you need to have is that all of it belongs to God. And he has called me to manage it. And I must be faithful over what he has given me to manage. So you can't think that you can just do whatever you want to do and just spend however you want to spend. You know, you have to say, you are in a partnership. You are in a partnership with God. And God has called you to be a manager. And I know, you know, sometimes, you know, we have to put the bar up here, right? Up here high, so that people might say, well, you know, Pastor Blaze, that's kind of extreme, you know? You mean to tell me I can't do whatever I want to do with my resources, with my money? That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that you can't do what you want to do. I'm just saying that you should be walking with God. You should be in consultation with God. And so that, you know, in Philippians 4, 6 and 7, it says, and the peace of God shall guard your heart and mind. And that if I'm spending time with God every day, if I'm having devotions, if I'm coming to him in prayer, if I'm, as the choir sang, as I go out, you know, to say, here am I, send me, I want to serve you, that as I'm going out, what am I doing? I am putting my mindset in line, in accordance with God. And when I put my mind in accordance with God, God is the Lord over my finances. God is the Lord over the things that I have. And so I realize that I transfer it to him. Well, I don't even have to transfer it. It all belongs to him. It says that the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world, and they who dwell therein. God said in Psalm 50, he said, if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you, because I own the cattle on a thousand hills. So God owns it all. He owns it all. And as I have my resources, I need to realize they are committed to the Lord. And I am a steward. I am a manager. And the thing that God has called me to be as a manager, according to 1 Corinthians 4:2, moreover, it is required in a steward that a man or woman be found faithful. Be faithful. Be faithful over what God has given you. Whatever God has blessed you, whatever God has put in your hand, be faithful with that. And don't squander it. Don't waste it. Don't let it be eaten up by doing things that are not honoring to the Lord. First of all, be faithful. If you're going to flourish in God's economy, be faithful. The second thing is that you got to be wise. You got to be wise. And when we say be wise, that is, spend wisely. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatever you do, whatsoever you do, word, thought, deed, spending money, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Spend wisely. Invest and save wisely. Save money. Invest money. And then give wisely. Give wisely. So in these Beatitudes, you got to be faithful and you got to be wise. Don't be foolish with your resources. Don't act unsavory, ignorant with what you have. Be wise. Be prayerful about how you use your resources. And then I like this one, number three, and that is be thankful. Be thankful. Whatever you have, be thankful for it. So, you know, some mornings you ought to just get up and look at your house and thank you, Lord, for this couch that you give me. Thank you, Lord, for the refrigerator. And thank you, Lord, for the stove that you've blessed me with. Open up your closet and thank you, Lord, for the clothes that you have provided for me. If you got a vehicle, look out in your driveway or in front of your house. Thank you, Lord, for a vehicle. You know, somebody said if you've got running water in your house, then you are more blessed than 90%, over 90% of the rest of the world. If you got running water in your house, get up and turn your water on. Stand back and watch your water run. Don't let it run too long. Thank you, Lord, that I got running water. Man, you see, if you have a thankful spirit, you will flourish in God's economy. I shared, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, about the song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Great is Thy Faithfulness. Great is Thy Faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy Faithfulness, Lord, unto me. When I see my provisions coming from the Lord, and I realize that what I have has come from the hand of God, then I ought to be thankful. I ought to have a grateful heart. You know, if you ever find yourself becoming ungrateful or unthankful, just get a piece of paper out and put a line right down the middle of that paper. And on one side of the paper, write all your troubles. And on the other side, write all your blessings. And I guarantee you that every time that you do that, that your blessings will outnumber your troubles. Every time. Every time. I can sit down and say, man, I got bad back. I got bad shoulders. Have hard time sleeping. Right? Write that on one side of the paper. Let me go to this other side. I'm saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't need to write anything else. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. I can stop right there. But then I go on and talk about how I have all the material blessings. I have all the spiritual blessings. You see, this side of the ledger will never outweigh the blessing side. It will never outweigh the blessing side. And so there's always reason to be thankful. Notice what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This is the will of God. It's God's will that you be thankful. If you're not a thankful person, if you find yourself doing more complaining than you do thanking, then you need to really ask the question, am I in the will of God? You know, I mean, you look in the Old Testament, God wiped folk out for complaining. He didn't play with them. He caused the earth to open up and swallow up people who complain. God is gracious to us, and he's not opening up Penn Avenue and allowing people to get swallowed up. Amen. Amen. Thank God for that. But God doesn't like us to complain. He loves it. He loves it when we express our thankfulness to him. And God looks down and he says, you know, no matter what you're going through, you know, and I think that, you know, James says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Now, James is not saying when you have problems to, you know, run around and jump up and down and laugh and be happy. And that's not what James is saying. James is saying in the midst of diverse temptations, in the midst of trials and tribulation, still have a joyful attitude. Have a joyful spirit. Have a thankful spirit. I tell you what, you can't lose in God's economy if you have a thankful spirit. Oh, here goes one. Be generous. Be generous. See, I might have to stay on this point. Wow, because you know we naturally, let's be honest, all of us, you know, if we're not careful, we're naturally stingy. We naturally, you know, the first thing that we do, right, is cover up like Adam and Eve did, right? When Adam and Eve sinned, what was the first thing they did? They tightened up, right, and they covered up. They didn't want to let anybody, they didn't even want to let God in. So sometimes it's just the natural tendency of human beings to close off. But as I've said from this pulpit on many occasions, that there's more power in the open hand than there is in the closed fist. God can take our generous spirit and he can use it for his honor and glory. Proverbs 11:25 says, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others, my, will be refreshed. Oh, let that sink in. That a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Yeah, we just need to be, you know, we don't need to be ridiculous and just be irresponsible in our generosity. It goes back to being wise, exercising wisdom. But we need to exercise wisdom in even in being generous. That
thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of How to Flourish in God's Economy. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, How to Flourish in God's Economy, you can request How to Flourish in God's Economy. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request How to Flourish in God's Economy. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series, God's Economy, is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you'd like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.